Thank you for listening to this highlight from The Exchange with Ed Stetzer. More on this topic is available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes it possible. Thank you.
I think one of the concerns a lot of people have had, have maybe been critical of psychology, is that maybe we handed off a lot of soul care to a secular discipline disconnected from the church. But you have a passion. You've written on this. Yes. You've got a book out, but it's been republished on basically lay people and lay counseling.
It's called Lay Counseling.
Lay Counseling. It's going to be called Lay Counseling in the republishing?
Yes. Okay. Same title.
So tell us a little bit about why that's important to you, and it should be important to the church.
Yeah. I'm right now in the process of rewriting a second edition with Dr. Ed Scalise, who used to be the vice president of AACC. So it'll be coming out next year. Lay counseling is important. The research shows that lay people can be effective helpers. In fact, in many of the studies, they're as effective as professionals. You know, not that professionals are bad, but lay counselors are good, especially if they're warm, caring, wise. You know, and usually they're carefully selected with some training, some of them even not much training, you know, and some good supervision. We have to be careful of the ethics of lay counseling, and then the need to teach lay counselors their limits, and the need to refer, and refer well and supportively. Yeah, but lay counseling is a ministry of the church. Yeah. You know, for the 2,000 years of church history, you know, people have engaged in soul care, and psychotherapy came much later. You know, and the Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens, love one another, encourage one another, reach out to one another, you know. So it's all in Scripture. It's a biblical truth that we are to reach out in love to help one another. So that's what lay caring and lay counseling is all about. Also, the whole history of soul care, especially in the patristic period of church history, the first 500 to 700 years of church history, a lot of good stuff from the early church fathers and mothers that we have forgotten, you know, because we think that, you know, Freud invented psychotherapy.
Yeah, right.
But soul care was way beyond before that. And Thomas Oden and others have now reclaimed some of the early church history good stuff, you know, into our work in soul care. So the interest in spiritual direction, in spirituality, and I take the view that we can integrate spiritual direction and spirituality into Christian counseling, but in a careful ways. It's not the same as counseling, but it overlaps, and we have to do it ethically and well. But you know, if you are truly a Christian counselor, you're not just interested in symptom alleviation. Eventually, you want people to grow into maturity in Christ. And those who are not Christians, you don't use evangelism, you know, in unethical ways. But if people are interested in discovering Christ, you can also talk about Jesus in the therapy hour if they give you informed consent.
Yeah.
And one last thing I want to say here quickly, Ed, is that the APA code in 1992 included religion as an important human diversity factor, and since then it's always been in there. That means that ethically, American psychologists, secular or otherwise, must be sensitive not just to racial, ethnic, cultural issues, but religion is a big part of culture. They have to be sensitive to religious issues in therapy, you see. So the anti-religious sentiment in American psychology has been reduced somewhat.
Yeah.
It's still there, but because of the ethics code. And then APA, ironically, has published...
APA, the American Psychological
Association. Yeah, the American Psychological Association. They've published over 15 books in the last 20 years, you know, on the integration of religion, spirituality, and therapy.
Mm.
And I've written some of the chapters in those books.
Okay.
So it's more open now, you see. And that's why people in the church must realize that psychology is not as anti-religion as it used to be.
Right. And it used to be.
Freud, for example, and even Albert Ellis, not so much anymore. No, and even Albert Ellis, the founder of rational emotive behavior therapy, before he died, a few years before that, he wrote some articles and so on saying that, you know, REBT can integrate religiousness as long as it's not too dogmatic.
Right. So we're not saying it's an overwhelming affirmation of things.
No, it's not. But it's not that as anti as before.
Thanks for listening to this highlight from The Exchange with Ed Stetzer. Your support makes this podcast possible. More information is available at myfaithradio.com.